You may have seen on the screen that the series we're going through right now is about things you may never have heard in Sunday school. And we've been looking at Old Testament Bible stories and seeing them through a new light, looking at cultural context or parts of the story that you may have brushed over before. And today we're doing the story of Ruth. The beautiful pictures on the words on the screen behind the songs this morning are paintings by Stephen Chagall. And Steve found those for us this morning, paintings from the story of Ruth that he found. And the story, the message that we're going to talk about from Ruth, we're going to do it a little bit differently. Often in church, we read a short piece of scripture and then we talk about it for an extended period of time. But today, as I was looking through the story of Ruth, I thought, you know, you can't really pick part of this story out and just talk about a little bit of it, because you really need to hear the whole story to see how God is working. So today we're going to do things a little bit differently. I'm going to read the whole story of Ruth. It's actually four chapters long in the book of Ruth. And then after that, I'd like us to have a short conversation. So as I'm telling you this story today, will you please think about where you see God's grace in this story? Where do you see God coming in and working? Where do you see God caring for his people? Where do you see God showing his love to his people? So as we read the story of Ruth, I encourage you to think about those things, and then we'll talk about those after. So the story of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a man from Bethlehem in Judah left the country because of a famine. He took his wife and two sons, and they went to live in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name, Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. During their stay in Moab, Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with only her two sons. Her two sons married Moabite women, the first a woman named Orpah, and the second a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without a husband or her two sons. Then Naomi heard that in Moab, the Lord was blessing his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab and return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-laws, she set out from the place where they had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But along the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes instead of coming with me, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husband and also to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of a good marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Why would you go with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who will grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, and if I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for those sons to grow up and refuse to marry anyone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than they are for you, because the Lord himself has caused me to suffer." And they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth insisted on staying with Naomi. "See," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. I will go wherever you go. I will live wherever you live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. I will die where you die and be buried there. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." So when Naomi saw that Ruth had made up her mind to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was stirred by their arrival. "Is it really Naomi?" the women asked. "Don't call me Naomi," she replied. "Instead, call me Mara, For the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why should you call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such a tragedy? So Naomi has returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day Ruth said to Naomi, "Let me go out into the fields and gather leftover grain behind anyone who will let me do it." And Naomi said, "All right, my daughter, you may go." So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. As it happened, she found herself working in the field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," the harvesters said. Then Boaz asked his foreman, "Who is that girl over there?" And the foreman replied, "She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a short break in the shed over there." Boaz went over to her and said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to the other fields. Stay right behind the women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to bother you. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well." Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "Why are you being so kind to me?" she said. "I am only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied. "But I also know about the love and kindness you have shown to your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live in a land of strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully." "I hope I continue to please you, sir," she replied. "You have comforted me by speaking so kindly to me, even though I am not as worthy as your workers." At lunchtime, Boaz called to her, "Come over here and help yourself to some of our food. You can dip your bread in the wine if you'd like." So she sat with his harvesters, and Boaz gave her food, more than she could eat. When Boaz went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, "Let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her. And pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her a hard time." So Ruth gathered barley there all day. And when she beat out the grain that evening, it came to half a bushel. She carried it back to town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave her the food that was left over from lunch. "So much," Naomi exclaimed. "Where did you gather all this grain today? Where did you work? May the Lord bless the one that helped you." So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked. And she said, "The man I worked with today is Boaz." "May the Lord bless him," Naomi told her daughter-in-law. "He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. This man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers." Then Ruth said, "What's more, Boaz even told me to come back and stay with his harvesters until the harvest is complete." "This is wonderful," Naomi exclaimed. "Do as he said. Stay with his workers right through the whole harvest. You will be safe there, unlike in other fields." So Ruth worked along with the women in Boaz's fields and gathered grain with them until the end of the barley harvest. She worked with them through the wheat harvest too. But all the while, she lived with her mother-in-law. One day Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, it's time I found a permanent home for you so that you will be provided for. Boaz is a close relative of ours, and he's been very kind by letting you gather grain with his workers. Tonight he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Now do as I tell you. Take a bath and put on perfume and dress in your nicest clothes. Then go to the threshing floor, but don't let Boaz see you until he finishes his meal. be sure to notice where he lies down. Then go and then cover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do. I will do everything you say, Ruth replied. So she went to the threshing floor that night and followed the instructions of her mother-in-law. After Boaz had finished his meal and was in good spirits, he lay down beside the heap of grain and went to sleep. Then Ruth came quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Around midnight, Boaz suddenly woke up and turned over. He was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he demanded. "I am your servant Ruth," she replied. "Spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," Boaz exclaimed. "You are showing more family loyalty now than ever by not running after a younger man, whether rich or poor. Now don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary, for everyone in town knows that you are an honorable woman. But there is one problem. While it is true that I am one of your family redeemers, there is another man who is more closely related to you. Stay here tonight, and in the morning I will talk to him. If he is willing to redeem you, then let him marry you. But if he is not willing, then as surely as the Lord lives, I will marry you. Now lie down here until morning." So Ruth lay at Boaz's feet until the morning, but she got up before it was light enough for anyone to recognize each other. For Boaz said, "No one must know that a woman was at the threshing floor." Boaz also said to her, "Bring your cloak and spread it out." And he measured 6 cups of barley into the cloak and helped her put it on her back. Then Boaz returned to town. When Ruth went to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "What happened, my daughter?" Ruth told Naomi everything Boaz had done for her. And she added, "He gave me these 6 scoops of barley and said, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said to her, "Be patient, my daughter, until we hear what happens. This man won't rest until he follows through on this. He will settle it today." So Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. When the family redeemer he had mentioned came by, Boaz called out to him, "Come over here, my friend. I want to talk to you." So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, "You know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to her husband Elimelech. I felt that I should speak to you about it so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it in the presence of these witnesses here. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am next in line to redeem it after you." The man replied, "All right, I'll redeem it." Then Boaz told him, "Of course, the purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family." "Then I can't redeem it," the family redeemer replied, "because this might endanger my own estate." "You redeem the land. I cannot do it." In those days, it was the custom in Israel for anyone transferring the right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. So the other family redeemer took off his sandal and said to Boaz, "You buy the land." Then Boaz said to the leaders and to the crowd standing around, "You are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son and carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today." Then the leaders and all the people standing there replied, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is now coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended. May you be great in Ephrathah and famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah." So Boaz married Ruth and took her home to live with him. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. And the women of the town said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord who has given you a family redeemer today. May he be righteous and famous in Israel. May this Lord restore your youth and care for you in an old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you so much that it's better than seven sons. Naomi took care of the baby and cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, "Now at last Naomi has a son again." And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. This is their family line, beginning with their ancestor Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. This is the book of Ruth from the Bible. If you are age 3 through grade 2, I invite you to head back to Children's Ministry where you're going to talk more about this story while we talk about it here. So as you heard that story, where did you sense God working? Where did you hear God's grace working in this story? Yeah, Mary. Through a lot of sadness and disappointment. Do you want to share that? Or you mean talk a little bit about that? God chose to work through these hopeless and sad situations. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Right. Okay. Great. God's call on Ruth's life. Yeah, it's good. What else? Can I give you this? Then we know that everybody can hear.
I'm always struck that Ruth just so matter-of-factly says, "Your God is my God." And she just simply says that. And then she never frets through the whole situation. She just always does what she's told to do by different people. And to have that kind of faith, that just blows me away. And it's got to be a huge part of just God's grace on her, for her to say it, believe it, and just live it without ever fretting.
I guess what strikes me is one of the things about the society back then is that it's a very male-dominated, patriarchal society. And if you look at the very end, it shows the genealogy leading up to David. And David, if you read it, it continues right on to Jesus. And one of the things that strikes you is that God always chooses the people who are in society the lowest of the low. And Ruth is just another example of somebody in the line of to Jesus that is just somebody who is the lowest of the low in society. And God always chooses, you know, the last who and makes them first. And I think that's one of the great lessons that's taught in this story. So.
Not only was she a woman, she was also a Moabite woman. So she was an outsider, and she was on the lowest rung of society. That's right. God works through that.
And along with that, if you look in Matthew, Boaz was the son of Rahab when we studied the fall of Jericho. So two lowest of the low in society who are in the direct lineage of King David, who was directly in the lineage of Christ.
Yeah, right. And we wondered earlier this week if the reason Boaz was so compassionate to an outsider was because his mom was kind of an outsider herself, and he had grown up knowing that. Yeah. Who else?
I guess one thing that struck me this time as I heard it was the field that Ruth decided to go to. I see God's grace at work and placing her in Boaz's field. Of all the fields she could have gone to, she went to his.
Yeah, it says, and the field she happened to be working in was the field of Boaz. It just happened that way, right? How often don't we say that in our lives? Oh, it just happened that way when God was actually orchestrating that. Where else do you see God's grace in that story?
Something that hit me this time was just how God's grace blesses persistence, and just how Ruth was persistent with Boaz. You know, he did a lot of things for her, but Naomi also had her take that step to say, hey, I'm here. And Boaz getting things, you know, the next day, going and making sure everything gets taken care of so he can have her right away. Just a lot of persistence that God really blessed.
You see God working in that story. Sorry, Tricia. Everybody else saw it, so it's okay.
What I found really neat was how Ruth, before she came to Naomi, of how God was preparing her, and she had no idea that what was lying ahead of her was actually there, and walking by faith and not by sight. And I just find that really cool how God works. Mm-hmm. And we can, she's like an example in our lives, and I just think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, she had no idea what it was going to be like to live in Bethlehem, and if she would be accepted there.
The other thing that strikes me is that this is so much more than just a story about a young woman who moved to Bethlehem from the outside, but we could look at Christ as our kinsman redeemer. And when I think about that, when I think about how God seeks us out, even when we don't even recognize that he exists, that whole story right there is just so much of grace, and we just keep seeing that played out over and over and over again through these stories. It's all about, it always points the way to Christ.
Yeah. That word redeemer, we talked about that in Women's Bible Study, is doing Ruth, and we're starting Esther this week. That word redeemer is not really a word that we use a lot these days. We said, well, when do you use it? Well, you redeem a coupon, somebody said. So if you bring a coupon on, you know, you get your 20 cents off your butter or whatever that is that week. But that's not quite it either. And then somebody said, well, sometimes you say, maybe you can redeem yourself. You know, if you do the right thing, you can redeem and kind of counteract a wrong that you've done. But still, that doesn't get at the heart of what redeemer means here, because you're doing those things yourself. Either you're bringing the coupon or you're doing the right thing to redeem yourself. And the idea of redeemer in this story is the heart of where grace is. Because Ruth and Naomi were too poor to buy that land. There's no way that they could work that land or own that land and provide for themselves. They had to have a totally separate person come in and redeem it for them. And that's a perfect picture of what Jesus Christ does in our lives. Because no matter what we do, no matter how much we work, no matter how hard we do we try, it takes somebody else to come in and to repair that brokenness for us. And that's what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. He's come in and he says, I am your Redeemer. I am the one who's going to come in and heal the brokenness for you. I am the one who's going to come in and wipe away your sin because you can't do it yourself. And that's what it takes. Let's pray for a few minutes. I'm going to start the prayer and then we're going to have some silent prayer, just giving you time to pray and talk with God yourself. God, what a great story you've given us. A beautiful story about Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. And the promises that you make to people that you keep. That you will never leave them or forsake them. Here we see it again. That you are with Ruth when she makes this step of faith. That you are with Naomi even into the hardest times of her life. And that, Lord, you've brought Naomi back full when she was empty. You've brought her back to fullness. Lord, oftentimes we try to work on that ourselves. We try to fill ourselves with the right things, or we try to fix it ourselves without depending on you to be our Redeemer. Lord, we pray in these next few minutes of silence that you will hear our prayer as we share our story with you, as we share our life with you, and ask you once again to come and redeem us.